Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Amen. July 4th, 1939. Every seat in Yankee Stadium is filled, as is every tree branch and rooftop as far as the eye can see. The Yankees would, of course, play a home game that day, but that is not what everyone was excited about. Lou Gehrig, the Yankees' legendary first baseman, in the last 17 seasons had amassed 6 world championships, 2 MVP awards. He'd been elected to each one of the first 7 ever MLB All-Star games. He'd amassed nearly 3,000 hits and 3,130 consecutive starts. Recently diagnosed with ALS, the disease that is now commonly called Lou Gehrig's disease, he had been forced to retire, and knowing that his days on earth were numbered, he's come back to Yankee Stadium one last time to say goodbye. And as the Iron Horse is assisted to the microphone, he will speak one of the most iconic one-liners in the history of American sports. Today, I consider myself to be the luckiest man in the world. In a similar scene, about 1400 BC, the nation of Israel has gathered on the banks of the Jordan River, and the most humble man who ever lived has come to say goodbye. Moses was 120 years old. He'd been born into slavery in Egypt, where his mother had to hide him in a basket in order to save his life. He was then raised in the household of a king, before committing murder and being exiled for 40 years, where he was a shepherd in the wilderness, until one day he meets God in a burning bush, is sent back to Egypt, leads the people of Israel through the 10 plagues, out of slavery, across the wilderness for 40 years, and now here they stand on the doorsteps of the promised land. Moses had watched as the Lord made destruction rain down on Egypt. He'd witnessed the Lord lead the people of Israel with a pillar of fire and a pillar of smoke. He'd seen God make manna and quail appear when they were hungry in the desert. He himself had talked to God and heard his voice on Mount Sinai. With his own hands, he had furnished the bronze snake. With his own hands, he'd also ground the golden calf into dust. With his own eyes, he'd watched as the Lord made water spring from the rock, but he'd also watched as the Lord opened up the mouth of the earth to swallow the wicked Korah and his family. So Moses had seen a thing or two in his 120 years, but now it's time to say goodbye. What does a man say in a moment like that? What does the prophet of Israel say in his final sermon? What does the leader of God's own people tell them the last time he speaks to them publicly? Love. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. What Moses tells the people gathered at the Jordan that day, and the people gathered here this morning, is that the life of a believer is all about love for the Lord. And so, we obey his words, and we share his words with others. And that's exactly how Moses begins his sermon. He tells them, these are the commands, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord has laid out for you, and he wants you to obey them. So do what the Lord commands. And he also promises that if you do what he commands, things will go well for you. You will possess the land into which you are going. You will prosper in that land. You will become a great nation in that land, and it will be a land flowing with milk and honey, and you will have everything you ever needed or wanted, even imagined, and more. Now, it had been over 40 years, but the people of Israel had spent the better part of a year camped at the foot of Mount Sinai while the Lord etched in stone and spoke to the leaders of Israel and Moses exactly what his commands and statutes were. So the people of Israel knew God's words, and they also knew that they were supposed to do what he had said. But they didn't. They whined and complained in the wilderness, even rebelled and refused to enter the promised land. And the Lord had turned them around, forced them to spend another 40 years wandering in the wilderness. But that 40 years is over. And now here they stand again on the doorstep of the promised land, and the Lord lays down the law one more time through his servant Moses. In fact, in the chapter right before this one, Moses had reiterated the Ten Commandments one by one. The Lord recognizes that we, his people, have a tendency to forget what he has said. That reality is also why the first and favorite lie of the devil is to simply ask the question, did God really say? It's the question he asked Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say you're not supposed to eat that fruit? It's the lie he'd whispered into the ears of the leaders of Israel 40 years earlier on the banks of the Jordan. Did God really say that he would give you a victory? It's the same lie that he whispers into our own ears and hearts even today. Does God really say that he wants it all? It's a lie we listen to. And we begin to divide the love and devotion that ought to be reserved for the Lord alone. And we share that love and devotion with the people and the possessions and the pleasures of the world that we live in. But our God is clear. He does not want to share. What he commands, what our Lord commands, is undivided and unqualified devotion to him. Jesus even refers to this commandment as the first and the greatest of the commandments. Anytime anyone or anything becomes more important than our Heavenly Father, it is sin. And every sin is a sin against the first commandment, because it is the Lord alone who should receive any and all of our love and devotion. And the Lord that we love tells us that if we love him, we will do what he commands. We try, but we don't, and we can't. And so the one thing that we can do is throw ourselves at the feet of the one who loved with a perfect love. And Jesus did love the Lord with all of his heart and all of his soul and all of his strength. And our complete inability as sinners to love as we should is covered over with the perfect love of our Savior. We love the Lord because of what he has done. He loved us first. He loved us first by sending his Son, by whose life and death we now have confidence that each one of us will spend eternity together with the Lord. And because he loved us first, we love him in return. And we do so by obeying his commands. And so the life of a believer is all about love for the Lord. And we love the Lord first by obeying his words, but also, as Moses says, by sharing those words with others. And that's how he continues. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So not only should we obey the words of God, but the words of God should permeate everything that we do. We should be teaching them to our children. They should be the constant and consistent content of all of our conversations, night and day, at home and away. Why? Because these words and commands come with a promise. We have a Lord who wants us to live lives of blessing, and he promises to bless us through obedience to the commands and statutes that he has given. So out of love and thanks to the one who has loved us and continues to love us, we do what he commands. We love his words, and we continue to share them. Now, we often don't take Moses' words here literally, his command to bind the words of God on our hands and on our foreheads and post them on the door frames of our houses. But if you've ever spent much time around an Orthodox Jewish community, you probably have noticed that they do very much take these words literally. They have little leather pouches, and inside that leather pouch is a scroll on which they have written the words of God, and there's a long strap that they wrap around their arms and literally bind the words of God to their hands and their foreheads. And often, in Jewish homes, you will find a little box on the door frame by the front door that has a scroll in it with the words of the Lord written on it as well. I'd be surprised to find out that any of you do that on a daily basis. But I do know that many of you have chosen to decorate your homes with the words and symbols of the Lord. Some of you even have permanently etched them into your bodies and done so for very much the same reason. We want to remember them. But because we are sinners, even those best efforts, soon the novelty wears off. We don't even notice them anymore, and it loses its effect. And so perhaps I think a more practical way to think about or to consider Moses' words in Deuteronomy chapter 6 is as follows. Our effort every day should be to keep the words of the Lord before our eyes, in our ears, and on our lips. So as we seek to keep the words of the Lord before our eyes, we read them, in our ears as we hear them, and on our lips as we speak them. In order to keep the words of the Lord before our eyes, we open up the scriptures and we read them for ourselves. Perhaps we even add to that with things like our meditations, devotions, or Bible history stories for our children. In order to keep the words of the Lord on our lips, we begin and end our days in prayer. On the drive to school, we're practicing memory work, speaking about the words and works of Christ with our children. We ask the Lord's blessings on our meals. And at the end of the day, we finish our day again in prayer together with our children. In order to keep the words of the Lord in our ears, we're listening to music. We pray out loud together. We even gather together in corporate worship weekly so that we can hear the words of the Lord spoken over us again and again and again. And soon, we find that the Lord, through our constant meditation on his words and the repetition of those words of love, has etched his love and his commands on our hearts like writing in a block of stone. We also find then that the words of the Lord are on the lips of our children and back in our own ears, and that cycle continues. And as we and our families begin to wear the love of the Lord as a garment, people see that too, and they take notice. And the words of the Lord become familiar to them as well, as they are continually in their ears and on their lips because of our presence And soon they know and love the words of the Lord. And they share them with their own children and their children's children. And the love of the Lord dwells among his people as we turn to one another with the words of the Lord and the works of the Lord as we carry out his command to share those words with others and to do as he commands. And that is what it looks like to live in a community of believers. Moses knew that this would be his final sermon. He knew it was goodbye to the people of Israel. And having seen what he'd seen and heard what he'd heard, he certainly could have said, like Lou Gehrig, "I consider myself to be the luckiest man in the world." It would have been fitting. But Moses had a much more important and impactful message to share, a message that continues to have an eternal impact how many generations later? The life of a believer is all about love for the Lord. We love the Lord by obeying his words and sharing those words with others. So love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Obey his words, do what he commands, and love his words and share them with others, teaching them to your children, and you will be blessed. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends our understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.